This is the Ali Le Rouge podcast on the Blood Red Channel, bringing you the view from the terraces at Liverpool FC.
Welcome to another Ali Le Rouge podcast. I'm your host, Peter Hooton, and I'm joined by Keith Colvin, Tony Caveney, and the Accrington Stanley manager, John Coleman. So since our last podcast, we've beaten Newcastle away and Wolves, and we've drawn with Palace. So we've taken 10 points from our last three games. So we're actually, believe it or not, the form team of the Premier League, along with City and United. We've kept four clean sheets in our last four games, but we also had the embarrassment of losing 5-2 to Real Madrid at home. So, John, what is it? Is it, you know, this Jekyll and Hyde season? I mean, what do you put it down to? Is it exhaustion from last season? Is it just bad luck, injuries, or?
I think the cracks were starting to show last season, to be fair, but it's just been, if you look at the Premiership as a whole, no team has coped with the World Cup. And I think everyone's having a hangover from it. It just took everyone by surprise. I think the players look drained. I don't think there's the quality that we've seen in the past from any of the teams, really. But I certainly don't think there's the intensity that we've seen in the past for many teams. And I think that's showing. And I think when your game is so heavily based on that, which Liverpool's was and has been throughout the, you know, Klopp's tenure, it makes it difficult then to find another way. The big bright spark for me, as you said there, is the four clean sheets. Right, I know we did five against Real Madrid, but the four clean sheets in the league, you couldn't have dreamt that. Four games ago, you couldn't have dreamt that.
No.
Because we didn't look capable of keeping a clean sheet. And so I think that's a massive, huge step in the right direction. And also, I think it's got to do the players' confidence, the world of good. Because you know now that the odds are we're going to nick a goal, aren't we? So you've got a great chance of winning the game if you can get into that mode.
Yeah. Tony, in terms of the season for you, I mean, you know, these last few results? Is it getting better, or do you think it's just we've rode our luck and we've rode our luck all season?
I don't think we've managed to get a head of steam up and get in a bit of a flow, really. I think season wise, at the start, the Charity Shield game gave us a little bit of impetus, and I think we're getting a bit of an hangover off that still. Do you know what I mean? That we were going to go on and do things, and it hasn't turned out the way we thought, but
you think it should have been a case of we should have strengthened, like?
I think so, yeah. I think a lack of investment. You try and think, you know, football, or you know the game, and we spoke about this with other fans, and there's that many things that everyone's got a different point of view of what's gone wrong, if you know what I mean. So there's a lot in the mix. You can't just say because of this, because of that, because of that, or what have you. Seems to be like you can't put your finger on it, really, but I think the World Cup, like John said, the World Cup didn't help. You're always like, after the World Cup, we'll get an head of steam. Didn't happen. And again, we got a false horizon with the game after it. We won. When we come back from the World Cup, we'll go on a run here, and we never. But I think, I don't want to be too harsh on certain fellas, but there need to be questions asked about certain things. Down tools could be the word on some of them. I think they're letting the manager down heavily, some of them.
Yeah.
With the performances. I don't know whether you've got one eye on getting away or one eye on a back to sunnier climbs or what have you, but anyone with... It's all right saying the midfield, they look knackered after half an hour. They look knackered when we kick off, really.
Yeah.
They look knackered from the start. So I think anyone with a fresh midfield, young midfield, it happened in the first game at Fulham.
Yeah.
These teams, they run past us. When we thought it was a fluke at Fulham,
They were
hungry. They were, you know, they had the impetus and they had pace about them and everything. And anyone with a midfield like that, you don't even have to be top notch. You just put that hard work in Grafton. He seems to be running past us, but you can't just blame the midfield, obviously.
Yeah. Keith, how can we be the, you know, the greatest team in the world that's ever existed, you know, last May, and come up with, you know, what we've been witnessing, especially since the World Cup? You know, I mean, I know we've turned the corner. Hopefully. We'll only see on Sunday against United whether that is the case. But, I mean, how can that happen?
So I spoke about this at the weekend. You think If you knew the answer to that, we wouldn't be on this podcast. We'd be earning a lot more money somewhere else, obviously. But
you'd be writing a book. You'd be Pep Linders' ghostwriter.
Yeah, you know, we've all got our own opinions, as Tony said, and you know, about who's doing what and who's not doing what, more importantly. But I don't know, you know, if I don't know what the answer to that question is. John's probably more, you know, sort of got more clues than us because he's in the game. He's just, you know, he's probably a bit more switched on to what players do in day in, day out and saying, and what you can pick up off and saying, yeah. Because Tony alluded to that, there's certain players, you know, and I don't like slagging our players down because they're all playing for us. You get that. But
remember, Keith, I stand in front of you.
I know that, mate. I know. I'm spending more time telling people to stop moaning than doing anything else. But anyway, you know, Keita has not set the world on fire. Anyone, a blind man can see that. Whether he's doing it on purpose is a different matter. But he's just not up to it for me as a player for us. I think most of the players have been trying their best. I'm not saying they haven't. And I'm sure Keita has, but I just don't think he's good enough, to be totally honest with you. So when you throw all that in, and then obviously, you know, we've had injuries, we've had players away with the World Cup, we've had that, you know, nearly winning four trophies, all like, you know, all that brought up towards the end of the season. Yeah. And then the Paris game didn't help, I don't suppose, because a lot of the players' minds went on the game at the time because of what was going on off the field. Now, whether that's a sort of accumulation of everything, you know, given us what we've got now, I don't really know the answer to that. Yeah. Well, you can't say, you know, that after three, you know, four clean sheets, we're back to where we were. Because in them four games, we could have conceded quite a few goals. The keeper saved us in a few of them. So we're not playing perfect football by a long stretch at the moment.
Yeah, we're riding our luck. There's no doubt about that, is the John Ball. I mean, what is it when you're the manager and the luck just goes against you? We've always been regarded, like a lot of people on the internet always called us lucky Liverpool, didn't they? And we were always getting decisions. But I don't think we've had a penalty this year, have we? Yeah, I think the Nunes's goal and Jota was supposed to... I thought Jota got fouled. That could have been a penalty, that couldn't it?
Well, I was sitting next to a Man City scout. And I said, we both said, I'll get short off this. You know, he has got nudged as he's running into the box.
Yeah.
So.
And they like sandwich him, don't they, really?
Yeah. So if you wanted to go to the letter of the law, where did the first foul take place? It's just an interesting thing because the big argument that I think everybody's using at the moment is we should have strengthened, we should have got midfielders in them.
Yeah.
And so on and so on. And it's easier said than done. We're not party to what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So we don't know how many missed targets they've had, how many players they've tried to sign, whether they're being backed by the owners, to what extent they're being backed by the owners, what restraints they're under, what players they want, and are they going down the Virgil van Dijk route of, well, we'll wait for them.
It's all speculation, isn't it?
Well, you know, I go back to have a speech the other night in the pub, and Our fans have slagged me off, saying you should have signed him, you should have done this, you should have done that.
Yeah.
They don't know how many knockbacks I got in January. It was off the graph.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and you think you're signing players. I hate waiting till the last day of the window, but other people make you wait. So I wanted to do all my business in the first week. Yeah. I got one player signed in the first week. And then every avenue I went down, I come down a dead end.
Mm.
Right up till 8 o'clock on deadline day.
Yeah.
When I just said sod it and turned my phone off and went to bed. But so that might well be happening with Liverpool. I'm glad it's not public knowledge anyway, because I remember the days when Liverpool signed someone in the 70s when I was growing up. The first thing you knew about it was when they were at Anfield.
At Melwood, yeah.
With Peter Robinson or Melwood or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was the first time you're there. We were very COVID in our approach.
Yeah.
I'd like to
think... Gapco was like that, though, wasn't he?
Possibly, So hopefully it's going back to that stage. Now, you can say, well, they've signed Gapco. But they might have been in for three or four midfielders and nobody knows.
Yeah.
And nobody knows whether they're hanging out for Bellingham. The world and his wife's in for Bellingham. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm a firm believer you don't just sign players just because you need a midfielder, you sign the wrong one.
Yeah.
And I think that could well have been done. And if you look not very far for our neighbours, the amount of players they've signed and the money they've spent in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, the waste of it.
Has absolutely been wasted. Now, they've signed players. They were lording the money, but the Everton fans were lording them. You know, we were all getting a text of the little Liverpool fan crying, saying, oh, Mara might be his their year. And you know, they were laughing at us, saying, oh, we've gone 10 minutes without signing someone. But you're not signing the right ones.
No, so no, no.
Just because you made a signing doesn't mean they're going to improve it. Yeah. And that's the thing that sometimes football fans don't understand. They just want change for the sake of change. That's not always the best way.
Yeah. I think, Tony, someone who has improved just by coming back was Jota, wasn't it? You know, I mean, he was everywhere. I mean, he was all over the pitch. And I know a lot of people criticise his, you know, some of his distribution, but he's basically makes things happen, doesn't he?
Yeah, he comes alive, doesn't he, when the ball's back. He's a threat as well. He wants goals, doesn't he? And we need that in the team. I know you got Nunes as an handful and that Gakpo's showing a bit, but I wouldn't say they were strikers, do you know what I mean? With that instinct he has, with the instinct that Jota has. I like him. I love Jota myself.
Yeah.
I think he's full of purpose. Every time he gets the ball, he just wants to go to goal. Takes the ball forward, carries it like so.
Yeah,
I think we've missed him a lot. We've obviously missed the other fella, Diaz. He wouldn't because he just, but we missed Jota just as much, I think, as a central forward, if you know what I mean. As someone like him, he's come the other night. I thought he'd done all right, but he's wasteful. Yeah. But he's coming back, so again, you know, we'll see the benefits of what he's got with the next few weeks, I think.
Keith, we've certainly missed Fabinho, haven't we? Even though he's been on the pitch a lot of the time, but we've missed him, haven't we? But he did look the other night to as if he was getting back to some of his sharpness that he's had over the years, and he's been, you know, magnificent for us, haven't he? But, you know, people were saying, what's happened to Fabinho? What's happened to him? But I did think the other night especially that tackle where he tried to ride the tackle and he got booked for it. You know, it was unbelievable, wasn't it?
But unbelievable.
He was, Keith, he was a lot more effective, I think.
Yeah, you know, he can't. It was probably his best game for a while, the Fabinho. And Fabinho is one of these players who you could put in all of this sort of, why has he gone this? Why has he done that?
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been playing well. Now, as John said, I don't know we don't know what's going on. He, sometimes he looks like he's running in quicksand, doesn't he? He doesn't seem to be able to get anywhere on the pitch. For whatever reason. Now, you know, I don't think he's carrying an injury. He may well be playing with a bit of an injury. I don't know. But you can't deny that he's not at his best and he hasn't been this season. But he's not on his own. You know, he's the midfield. At the very start of the season, I think everyone put the finger on saying the midfield's ran out of legs. And then the rest of the team just fell apart around it, didn't it? So
you can't
just blame it on one or two
individuals. No, it's a team collective thing,
isn't it?
Of course it is.
You know, and you look at the efforts, you know, Mane went. Now, Mane put a lot of effort in closing people down. You can't deny that. The trading did at the time. You know, Salah, Firmino when he was there, obviously, when he was in the team. But that seems to have stopped dead, really, hasn't it? Let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
This season. So the midfield will always be put under pressure. And as Tony said before, there's times when teams just walk past us, not even run past us. They're just coming right through us, you know, wave after wave. So Fabinho probably is an easy target in some respects because of the way he plays. You know, he's there to stop everything like that, isn't he? Mm. And when he doesn't do it, it shows, doesn't it, obviously? You know what I mean?
What's really mad, though, isn't it, that when we went through that really bad spell, you know, when the COVID was on, and we went through this one where we were just losing games like it was a competition. So many we could lose on the bounce.
Yeah.
That's when we lost all the defenders. And then I was a big proponent in that the reason why we struggled was because we took our midfield out to play at the back.
Yeah.
And so we took Henderson and we took
Fabinho
out to play at the back.
Yeah.
Now these are the same players. I know they're a couple of years older, but we missed them really badly at that time.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's all down to them.
No.
I just think sometimes in football, it's like, you seem to have like a magic formula and you seem to have a thing where the players click.
Yeah.
And once one or two aren't there, the rest of it just doesn't seem to be working right. Now, you could label, well, that is Mane, that little missing piece of that jigsaw that helped us tick, helped us with the press, helped us going forward, nicked a goal, made chances. Well, if you're going to be reliant on one player like that, you'd have to really rethink your strategy.
Yeah.
I don't think it is that. I just think that, I think teams aren't as afraid of Liverpool as what they used to be.
Yeah.
Because they're getting older. And, you know.
But they're also relying upon youth, aren't they? I mean, we had Elliott and Pichetti on against Wolves. I mean, you can't really rely upon youngsters like that, can you?
Well, your big players and your better players. So, for me, the big players over the last few years has been Salah, Henderson and Mane.
Yeah.
You know, so Mane's gone. But Salah and Henderson and Fabinho's played a big part in that as well. Then you get Van Dijk and Matip, who've been excellent. They're all 2 or 3 years older, all getting towards north side of 30. And the threat, the commanding presence of Van Dijk isn't any longer there, maybe because of his pace and the injury. And then also the pace of Salah isn't as evident of the sharpness in the box darting round. Henderson, when he covers every blade of grass and he's being absolutely magnificent, just looks a little bit slower than what he used to be.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, people are thinking, well, these haven't got what they had in the past. Let's go on at them.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it's a case of, you know, a breakup of the team, of the spine of the team? I mean, obviously, we're going to keep Alisson.
Eventually,
we need some, you know, when Van Dijk and Kanate are playing together, it's great, isn't it? But we can't rely on Gomez and Matip, I think. You know, there could be an argument we need two new centre-halves.
I think the flip side of what John's saying is the youth, where they're looking a bit aged, and that you've got like Kanate and that Stefan in the middle, the youth are looking the part.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? In that team, because the fuller legs and the fuller, like, you know, got
the, I like the way you use Stefan rather than his surname, because no one can say it.
Let's
say Stephen. Stefan.
Stephen, I was going to call him.
You're possibly going to need a couple of centre-halves, but Liverpool, I mean, we're sounding like dinosaurs now, like, because we were spoiled in the 80s and 70s and 80s, we were spoiled. But they always developed the teams that when they were on top.
Yeah,
they didn't stand still. You know, when Roger Hunt had to go, we had to go. That's the thing. And so, you know, they were continually a moving part and always getting better and always looking to get better. And they had an identity of the way they played, and players dropped into that, in and out of that, but kept the same rhythm. And I think our rhythm's been upset a little bit lately. But listen, this manager has assembled an unbelievable team with good staff around him as well to do that.
Yeah.
And he all of a sudden hasn't just had the ability to do that, sucked out of him. So, you know, he is capable. He is going to need backing. And he's going to need a little bit of luck along the way, because every signing you make doesn't cop. You know, I go back to Mark Wright. Mark Wright was the best centre-half around when Liverpool signed him. He didn't turn out to be the best centre-half for Liverpool. You know, he did a well enough job, but nowhere near like he was doing for anyone else. Dean Saunders is the same.
But you'd have people on lists on social media of like the 10 players that are going to leave. You know what I mean? Is it a case of that, John, or is it a case of it's just two or three components that we need, you know?
Well, I think if you do a massive overhaul, you've got to take a little bit of pain, because you've got to wait for them to bed in. It doesn't happen overnight. All other teams are trying to do the same.
Yeah.
You know, Newcastle are trying to do it, aren't they? And that worked to a certain extent now, but they're coming off the rails a little bit.
Well, look at Chelsea. They're bottom of the form league, aren't they?
Well, you know, I was speaking to Anthony Barry. He's a good friend of mine. He's first team coach there.
At Chelsea, yeah,
and he still calls me Gaff, and he's going, Gaff, he said, you wouldn't believe it. He says, we're having to leave 7 or 8 top-class players out the playing squad. Now, Liverpool aren't in that situation. And yet they're still having their own problems because of that. You know, it's not all plain sailing for anybody, really. We'd like better players.
The simple checkbook is not the answer. And Chelsea are proving that, aren't they?
Really? No, it's not, but it helps. It does help, you know, and being able to pay the top wages helps as well, because that attacks the top players, the players who are most sought after. But you still need a good caliber of player. And if you look at the stats, there's quite interesting stats about where you finish in the season. Has a very, very big correlation to what you're paying.
If you
go over 15, 20 years in the Premiership, now you get the likes of Leicester booking the tent, but they're still spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, not just as lot of money as what the other teams are spending. Mm. They're still spending a lot of money, but every now and again you'll get an anomaly. But it basically it works out as the people who spend the most money finish in the correct positions.
Yeah.
And that's why Liverpool have been good, because they've booked the tent time and time again. Because Liverpool will be in the top three or four spenders.
Oh.
Certainly in wages. So to finish one or two for as many times they've done, you know, they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Tony, it was frustrating against Wolves, wasn't it? When Elliot missed that header, that was an open goal, wasn't it? Really, you know, but you thought, oh, it's going to be, you know, one of those nights. But then I think what happened was because of the VAR decision going against us on the 67th minute, it seemed to galvanise the team, didn't it? They seemed to get angry. And they seem to put a yard on them, you know. And all of a sudden, we were creating chances all over the place.
Yeah, I think the first half wasn't the cleverest. Like it was just same again. Same thing. I was thinking I was thinking to myself then. I'd rather have beat, because I was looking at half time. It was a nil. I'd rather have beat Palace and got beat at all, you know, whatever. Because you're getting 3 points. I was just had a draw all over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when that happened, especially like that, we didn't have too many chances first to have voting. But when that happened, I think it galvanised the crowd.
Yeah.
The referee got on the crowd.
And this seemed feed off the crowd.
And they reacted to the crowd again, which you should do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying the crowd was terrible. They were having the same song and what have you, but it wasn't the volatile thing. And then, you know, that thing that we've been wronged. And like, when it did happen, we scored not long after it again, didn't we?
Yeah,
but from then it seemed to come back. The confidence seemed to come flooding back as we were flying down.
I mean, you could see what it meant.
The correct changes made a few.
Keith, you could see what it meant to Van Dijk and Jota. You know that opening goal. You know they were really, you know, it was like a relief, wasn't it? You could see it on the faces.
It was like a release of all the pressure that they're under. You know, obviously, you know, so you know Van Dijk. Again, rightly, you know, I think some of these people who criticising Van Dijk just living a different planet. You know, the fellas just, you know, he's not as fast as John said before as he used to be, but I don't think he was blessed with a lot of pace. He was just a lot of strength and positional centre half the time, but he's just coming back after an injury, isn't he? So for him to score that goal was a big relief for him, you know, and he'd be inhuman if the pressure didn't get to him, because every man and his dog are having a go at the moment, aren't they? You know what I mean? You know, so it will do, but I know where Tony's coming from with the crowd, to agree, but I thought the crowd on Wednesday were very quick to criticise certain people, the younger players, for instance, when they misplaced pass or moan and groan, you know what I mean? And they've got to stop doing that. You know, the team is struggling at the moment, you know, for whatever reason, they're struggling. And
there's a collective moan when one of the youngsters puts
it's not just that. And to be honest, it's not from the sides of the ground, it's coming from the cop now, you know what I mean? You can hear it. It's just.
One of the problems you go every week. I don't get there that often. And I haven't been. Well, I was lucky to go to the Wolves game, but one of the things I've noticed is it's not really the moan that does you. It's the ambivalence. Yeah. So it's the I don't care mode. Honestly, that's what really kills you as a footballer.
Yeah.
I think it's like playing in front of 10 people. We've been an unbelievable night at Anfield. We've been blessed with that.
Yeah.
No one could take that away from you. But at then times when you've won that game and you've been there and we've been bounced up and down, you felt as though you played your part.
Yeah.
So surely the fans have got to play their part.
Yeah.
They've got to step up to the plate. And
I think we have been spoiled,
but we've got to realise that we've got to make every game. You know, I go back to Everton, right? So Everton is like a weird, weird club, Everton. Because
you've had it, John.
No, weird club. Because you know when things are going right and you need a set of fans behind you, there's probably no one better.
Yeah,
absolutely electric. And they dragged them over the line against Palace last year. You can argue till you're blue in the face. They drag them over the line. But by the same token, when the games come where they perceive don't matter, like November, then they could be toxic. And so they can have the absolute reverse effect.
Yeah.
So they can either carry someone over the line or they can step on the edge while they're drowning.
But don't you think, John, it was a bit of a, against Real Madrid, we were 2-0 up, the crowd were absolutely bouncing. But and Liverpool would go for the third instead of trying to control the game, weren't they?
Yeah, but I mean, it's always like that on European nights at Anfield. It's always like electric. It's got to the past. It's gone to the point now, and Tony's right. We've been spoiled.
Yeah.
But we've got to realise that it's down to us as fans to play our part and to realise that we can do this again. We can make the top four. Getting into that top four with Alisson scoring that goal was nothing short of a miracle, the way we finished the season. And we ended up winning the European Cup on the back of that. So we've got to play our part as fans to say every game's going to be a cup final. We need to win near enough every game between now and the end of the season to qualify for Europe.
Yeah.
Well, for the Champions League, and we can. But the fans have got to play a part in it, particularly at home. We should win every home game.
Yeah. Tony?
I think Jürgen's alluded to that in one or two of his press conferences about whatever we've done in the past was together.
Yeah.
And you need it now more than ever. Do you know what I mean? He keeps alluding to the fans, the players, and all that.
Yeah.
When we're together, we can prove what we've done.
We've done
it together. And he's right. It seems a bit fractured at the minute. With not so much, because we don't know what's going on. I've been guilty of it myself in the ground with the Ewan and I, But what John's saying, it is a kick up the backside in a way, isn't it? We've been spoiled. There's the managers calling upon us to get behind them, even through the bad times. It's all right I know it's all like cliches and what have you, but he's half alluded to it in his last few conferences, and I think he's correct.
Keith, so it's a massive game on Sunday against United. Now, this is where the crowd will play an important part, I think. But, he got beat early on the season at Old Trafford, disappointing performance. But if you remember last year, it was 9-0 on aggregate, wasn't it? 5-0 away and 4-0 at home. But United, I think they're flattered to deceive at the moment. I just don't think they're as good as everyone's making out. I mean, do you think we can get a result against them?
Yeah, definitely, I think with United, when we went there on the season, we weren't playing well anyway, but they were getting hammered by everybody, weren't they? They didn't want to play us then, and we put one of our worst performances in I've seen for a long time, and it kick-started their season. So, I think we're capable of beating Man United. I don't watch United, obviously, as much as I don't want anyone to, but I've seen them. They have struggled, and if teams like Leicester the other week, Leicester had two or three chances against them before United got going. And they really should have scored at least two of them. They're quite easy chances, really. If them goals go in, it's a different game. It's about United are a very dangerous side, obviously, going forward. They're not the best at the back. And, midfield, they've got Casemiro, who's hit and miss, in my opinion. I know they're all raving about him down the other end of the motorway. But, he's another one who's in the brackets of what we've got to a point. He's getting on a little bit. But he can control the game, you can't say. But if you get round him, he's been sent off a couple of times already because of the way he's reacted this season.
Yeah.
And I think if we can get back to our best with the crowd behind him, I think we the best performance we put in the season was against City at home, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We beat them 1-0. We'd hold our luck a little bit, but we ended up winning it, and deservedly so in the end. But that was with the crowd behind us.
But you know what you're saying? Keith, about it? We were poor at United. That was possibly the start of the demise. We still had enough chances to win that game.
No, we did.
It was bizarre. It was bizarre. They weren't great that night.
Yeah,
we more or less shot ourselves in the foot.
They didn't want to play us, John. They were petrified of playing us. And then
it has kick-started the season. But I remember a couple of weeks ago watching them against Leeds, and Leeds could have scored four, bastard.
Yeah, they could,
So I honestly think, I hope Liverpool go for the throat.
Yeah.
I honestly do, because I think I agree exactly what you said, Keith. They are dangerous going forwards, but they're very, very vulnerable at the back.
I mean, Rashford's having a great season, isn't he? He scored
14
and 24 appearances. I mean, how do we stop him? know, because he seems to...
do you know what, how you stop him, Peter? You attack them and you keep the ball in their half.
Yeah.
So that they're limited, they have to feed off scraps. Yeah. And as long as you don't leave the back door open, if we can dominate, the crowd get behind us, we camp out in their half, we take the game to them, we make chances. We have to speed up our play because the first half against Wolves, we were too pedestrian. And we're always like that when teams give us a bit of space and sit off us. Like, I mean, I thought Wolves were awful, you know, and for the team who are in a relegation dogfight,
I
thought there should have been a lot more fight out of them.
Yeah.
And I think United will come a little bit bullish. They'll think they can attack us. And I think we've got to use that to our advantage. We've got to play quick football, dynamic football, which we're capable of. And we've got to go for the throat.
Andy Maidley is in charge on Sunday.
Have you got a little proof on him?
I've come across Andy a couple of times and his brother Bobby. I've come across Paul Turney's actually all right, to be honest. I've come across him a few times.
You were saying in the pub after the game.
And, you can't quote me on that. I'm the same about every referee. I mean, the thing is that we haven't had a penalty this season. I think we've had sort of a raw deal on the VARs. I think we had one. How long's the VAR been in now? Is it three seasons? Is it? And I think we had one 8 months of a season where everything more or less fell for us.
Yeah.
I think if you think about it as a bank account, I think we're in debt. To VAR, we're not in debt to VAR, we're in credit and VAR, they owe us.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think over the three seasons, we've had more against us than we have for us. And I go back to one of the worst decisions I've ever seen. It was the penalty against Arsenal this season.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Absolutely ludicrous that anybody could watch that on a TV screen and say, yeah, that's a pen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's what VAR is there for.
That cost us the game, really. Then we were in control of that.
Absolutely. Changed the game. And, you know, then he starts asking questions. Well, did he want Arsenal in the hunt? And, you know, obviously, you know, they're not because, you know, I don't think anyone's that daft that referees would be that corrupt. But that's the perception that people feel. And it did. It made a massive difference because it's got them an extra 2 points in the title race.
Yeah.
And key decisions in games like that. I mean, you've only got to see it last season. At one City, the lead, the Everton penalty.
Yeah.
You know, so...
And who's the referee?
Well, I don't want to go down that road. simple decisions can have a bearing.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
It's very, very strange that Liverpool haven't had a penalty this season, isn't it?
Also, Harry Kane sending off...
Exactly.
You know.
And the non-penalty for Liverpool. But what I'm saying is, are Liverpool not getting penalties because they're not having as many entries into the box in control? I think that's
possibly
the more of the reason why. And when we get back to that, we might get more penalties.
Tony, on I don't know if you know, but if Salah manages to hit the back of the net against United, he'll equal Robbie Fowler's league records, goals, 128. He's on 127 now. And he will have got it 60 games before Robbie Fowler. That's unbelievable, isn't it? That's an unbelievable stat, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, not happy. He won't be happy about that. But he'll give lip service. He'll give lip service that he is, obviously. But you can't look and you say about Mo Salah. You know, that hasn't been said, Pete. Unbelievable. Even now, well, see, he's on 20 now, isn't he? And you think he hasn't been scoring this season?
20 on he scored 9 in the Premier League, but I think it's 20 in all competitions.
I've seen a little thing on Twitter every season since he scored the 41 when he first landed.
He's hit
20 every season. It's unbelievable.
Even
in that bad season. You guaranteed that. That's never, you know what I mean? So you can write that at the start of the season. He's getting 20 goals, which points-wise is everything in it.
Don't forget, you know, all these top strikers, they take the pens. And that's guaranteed 5 or 6 of them before they get out of bed.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't had one this season.
Yeah.
That's six goals more or less taken off his tally.
Yeah.
That's why you've got to take pens if you're a striker.
It's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. He did that, like, I think they're saying the African Nations Cup done his head in, you know, with the other fella winning it at the time, and then the World Cup done his head in.
Yeah.
You know, when he come back from the World Cup.
He's not played, you can't deny he hasn't played well this season, but he still scored 20 goals. So that's the mark of what he is.
You know, the thing what's bizarre, you know, when he first come and he started scoring for fun.
Yeah.
Remember all the ones he missed?
Yeah.
Oh my word. He could have scored another 20 without getting out of bed.
Yeah.
Easy.
Well, he scored on against Wolves with his knee, didn't he? Come off his thigh or his knee, didn't he?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter, but I mean, you know, everyone's thinking Salah's having a poor season, but he's still put, you know, as we all say, he's still.
But you know, the goal he scored
against
Everton, people think that's just a tap into an empty net. That's an unbelievable finish, that, by the way.
Yeah.
Even Palace the other day, like, well, a couple of inches lower, bang, with one
unlucky.
You know what I mean? No one else can do that. That instinct, like, he can, like, you know, it's an hard feat, and then he just, in the 6 inches lower, he's won the game with.
Yeah. Keith, do you think United will come on attack? Or do you think the manager, he had a bit of pressure at the early on the season, losing them games, hasn't he? But at the moment, he seems to be on, you know, a running streak, doesn't he, really? He hasn't been coming under much pressure recently. But, you know, obviously, if Liverpool go for the jugular and get a couple of goals up, you know, they're not Real Madrid, are they?
Well, if you listen to some fellas and where I'm working, mate, you would think they are, actually, yeah. But,
but are you working in Manchester, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for Monday morning. listen, Ten Hag, you know, he's done a good job. You can't say he hasn't, especially at the start of the season that he has. You know, they lost the first three, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But I'll be surprised if they don't come and attack. But, you know, I think they'll be respectful of Anfield as the place and what it can generate, and as we just spoke about before, getting the crowd up and obviously that'll give us a big impetus. So they may come and try and kill the game early on, stop the crowd getting up, and you know, just sit back and try and nullify the game. But if they do come and attack us, I think that'll play into our hands. So I think they will do at some stage, and I don't think it'll take them long. It may take 10 or 15 minutes before they realise they've got to have a go, because I think we will, as John said before, fly out the traps at them and get it right at them, because we're going to have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we're all looking forward to the Sunday against United. But we had the news in the last couple of days that Bobby Firmino is going to be leaving at the end of the season. Now, Liverpool did say they were in contact talks with him. Maybe they give him an offer that he couldn't accept, but it's been, you know, announced that he will move. He's been an absolute brilliant player, hasn't he, John? I mean, he's won everything with Liverpool, and he's one of the few players. I think there's only 18 in Liverpool's history who scored over 100 goals, and Bobby's one of them. And he also had a great song, didn't he?
Yeah, one of the best songs. I think they can always choose a player by when they get good songs. The thing is he was probably start of the season, he was probably our most consistent forward.
Yeah.
And in a mad sort of way, you only realise his value when he's not playing.
Yeah.
And losing him was a blow, you know, because he does link up play. Obviously, he's another one who's getting older. But he has a knack of scoring really important goals. He brought the best out of other players, which I don't think anyone can deny that. Him and he linked up with Coutinho like you wouldn't believe. He made him look a sensational player. Not that he isn't a sensational player, but he made him look really good. And he helped him be really good. And that cleverness of being able to just do a half a yard pass that people think's easy, the time and the weight of it to put it so you haven't got to break side to score. It's an art, and it's a dying art, I must admit.
Fans have been frustrated with him, though, haven't they, in the past few seasons, you know, with his lack of consistency. But when it did click for him, you know, he is that link, isn't he, between midfield and attack, and he played it brilliantly, didn't he, when it did click, Tony?
Because when he tries things, he's a proper Brazilian. You know, we had like Lucas, who wasn't a Brazilian. Do you know what I mean? This fella's a Brazilian. He tries the flicks. And if you try them flicks, obviously, they're not going to come off all the time. And it looks frustrating. And it's like, you know, that attitude of, will he get hold of it? Or do? But I wouldn't swap for him. You've got to keep doing them tricks and doing them things. Because what you go to football to see, and Bobby's one of them. But you want to go and watch him play footy. I idolise him, you know what I mean? It's not like you say that first line in the song, probably the best line ever in a Liverpool song. Something the cop want you to know. He's unbelievable, and it's going to be a big miss. You could think he's going back to Germany, he was saying. But obviously he wants to play football, the lad wants to play footy. So
He's probably had the most impressive teeth in the Premier League, hasn't he? He can't get...
Yeah, the thing, when obviously Rodgers brought him in, didn't he? And in my opinion, Rodgers played him out of position. He played him with his back to goal. And I think the best thing that happened to him, Jürgen come, because he changed the way he played and changed his position, in my opinion. And obviously, the rest is history, because the one thing he isn't going to do is out-jump a centre-half and, you know, with some who's stuck right up and trying to win the ball, you know, where he's grappling, you know, he's best coming off somebody as he's proven time after time after time. Running at people, linking up, scoring important goals. It's been a pleasure to watch him. It's a shame he's going, to be honest. I'd like to keep him around to try and give Harvey Elliott and Carvalho a bit of experience and a bit of guidance and how to
What's happened to Carvalho?
You see Firmino when he's on the pitch, he goes over to likes of Elliott, you know, when he's done well or whatever, you know, he's encouraging him. And, you know, it's going to be a big loss off the pitch as much as on the pitch, I think, for the whole squad, because, you know, I'm sure he'll stay in football at some capacity. You know, we used to say he couldn't be a good coach at sometime in the future.
Johnny,
he's been a brilliant player for us.
Yeah. Johnny, he's 31, you know, so obviously that might have come into the decision of the club when offering him a new contract and what they were going to offer him. But, I mean, as a manager, what would you be doing if he was trying them flicks and they weren't coming off?
You know, I've spoken about him in the pub in the past, BT, you know that, and he can drive you mad. But I have to hold my hand up that sometimes you need a player who's got a level head, which he has, who can see a pass, which he hasn't got the credit he deserves for that, for me. The way he can pick people out, the way he does them little half yard flicks and lays things on.
I'm sure you said to me, John, I don't know, we'll never win the league with Firmino.
Never said that.
Didn't you?
You said we'd never win the league.
Hey, started him for you tonight, John.
He has, no.
I'm getting him ready. He's meeting Duncan Ferguson tomorrow, Forest Green.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, to be honest, I really think that he was our best player this start of the season.
I
think we missed him when he went out the team. And when you're then losing quite a few other forwards, you know, you haven't got anything to freshen it up.
Yeah.
You know, we have the same thing. I've got the same thing with Sean McConville. So Sean McConville, one of our longest serving player. He's done unbelievable work for me. He's pushing 34 now. Yeah. Still chipping with the odd goal. But eventually he's gonna run his course.
Yeah.
And we've just got to try and get every drop out of him that we can, because we're not a club you can go in and mark and just sign ready-made players. Mm. And one thing you can't give these players is experience. Know how to just run the clock down when you win them 1-0, buy a foul, win it. I mean, he kicked one off the line on Saturday. That it was a goal. It's just, to any other sense of purpose, it was a goal.
Yeah.
And he's flew and kicked it off the line. Mm. And you can see how much the club means to him. And I think the Liverpool fans have had a brilliant relationship with Bobby Firmino.
Yeah.
And I think he's shown how much he's been dedicated to the club.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had like a love-hate relationship in a way, hasn't it? Because, you know, most people who went to games, I think, appreciated him. But, you know, of course, people who don't go to games all over Twitter, it's, you know, he's been dismissed a little bit, hasn't he? I think.
Well, wait till he comes back next season, whatever team he goes to. If he comes back to Anfield, can you imagine that he's set?
He's going to get a great reception.
It'd be special, won't it?
Yeah.
Peter, what have I told you? Take the notices of Twitter.
When Jürgen signed, and you knew he had Bobby Firmino, he said that he tried to sign him for Dortmund once or twice, and it never happened. He said he was over the moon that week that he finally had him. Do you know what I mean? So his eyes lit up right away, Jürgen, because he knew what he could do with him, where he could link things up. And he likes clever players as well, Jürgen, you know, with the way he plays. So Bobby's
I hope he gets a few more games and, you know, Crowe can show their appreciation, because he has been a brilliant servant to the club, you know, and he's always kept his counsel, hasn't he? You know, he never come up with outrageous things, you know, and he always seems to have a smile. I mean, you love players that have smiles on their faces when they're playing, don't you?
Do you reckon then? Belongs to Liverpool, the club, do you reckon?
What's that?
Do you reckon them cheap belongs to Liverpool Football Club, like Brendan's? We got them back off him, didn't we?
But it's been a pleasure to watch him.
Yeah.
And you know, you never know. He might get in the seat. I mean, I think Gapko's been bought as his replacement, really, hasn't he? I think the writing was on the wall when, you know, so you've got Salah, Nunes, Gapko, Jocelyn Dears. Do you need a sixth striker? I don't know, you know. I mean, everyone would like one.
He's not a classic striker, though, is he, Peter? You know, we've just been speaking about that. He's not a striker in the traditional sense.
No, no.
You know, he is what a striker needs behind him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So he's always producing chances for him. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. When Rodgers had him, Rodgers was playing him up front, not on his own, but he's like, and that's not his game. He's not, although he scored quite a lot of goals.
Yeah.
That's credit to him because of the way he plays. But he's never been a centre forward, has he? Let's be honest about it.
No.
Would he get in your team, John, at the moment? You're playing Forest Green, aren't you?
Yeah, he might get in tomorrow.
Which is Ferguson's team.
Yeah, it's.
Have you ever met him? Have you ever met him?
No, I'm not come across Duncan, no.
They're bottom of the league, aren't they, Forest Green?
Don't remind me about this. It's the case. Every time we play the bottom, when we played them away, they were bottom of the league. We lost to them.
Yeah.
We played Rochdale in the cup when they were bottom. We lost to them. We played Samu when they were bottom. We lost to them. It's one of them. They haven't won since he's took over, and being a bit unlucky, really, because they've led twice in stoppage time and been pegged back, one to lose and one to draw. We just don't know if he gets off the mark. There'll be a few Evertonians come tomorrow.
Is
it away, John?
It's at our place. Oh, it's at our place. So Everton are playing on Sunday as well, aren't they? So
yeah, so there'll be a few Evertonians there,
So
will he be having a glass of wine in the manager's office?
He'll be invited up to the office, for the glass of Chateauneuf, you know.
Vegan pies at Forest Green, eh?
Yeah, it is, at their place,
Okay, thanks to Tony Caveney, John Coleman, Keith Coven. Thanks for listening to Ali LaRouche.
Peter?
What?
Can I say one thing before we go?
No.
The Sunday league team are in the semi-finals of the National Cup. We're playing at Northampton.
Okay, then. When is it?
We're playing a team from South East London. And it's on the 26th of March. And it's like the FA Cup for amateur teams, you know what I mean? It's even bigger than that, John, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Only nine
teams from Liverpool who have won it.
What team is it, so?
Edward Arms FC.
Chunks
are in the other semi-final. They're playing a team at Kidderminster Harriers. So they're coming to South End teams in the final, touch wood.
Good luck.
Okay, good luck.
Good luck,
Tony. Good luck to Atkinson and good luck to Liverpool. Against United. You'll be listening to Ali LaRouche. See you in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to the Ali LaRouche podcast on the Blood Red Channel.